We're going to jump right in this morning. We're in the Galatians series, part 4. And if you're getting a little bored and tired of it, I'm sorry, this is where the Holy Spirit has me. Maybe pray for Him to wake you up a little bit to it. Maybe pray for Him to show you what He would have you see in this message. I'm telling you what, this stuff right here gets me excited. It really, really does. The book of Galatians, I would recap, but it'd be 4 weeks worth of recap, and by the time I got done with the recap, I wouldn't have time to preach today's message. So guess what? My message next week, my plan is recap and conclusion in the Galatians series. I think that'll make a great message all in itself, the recap and conclusion of the Galatians series. Today, we are going to skip around a bit in the book of Galatians, but we're going to start in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Oh, didn't he just say, stay the course? Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Verse 8 says, whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. In Galatians 5, 19 through 21, it says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Not inheriting the kingdom sounds an awful lot like destruction, doesn't it? And what did it say? But whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. And we just heard everything that the flesh produces, all these things that the flesh produces, and at the end, it says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. In Galatians 6, 8, the second part says, whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. I'd like to go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, it's right after 1 Peter. 2 Peter verses 3 through 11. His divine power has given everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Evil desires equal the fruit of the flesh, or the desires of the flesh. Having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection. And to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. In verses 10 and 11 of 2 Peter 1, it says, you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It reiterates that living your life for the Spirit, following the path of the Spirit, following the Spirit and the things that He tells us. What is the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And remember, I love this because Paul is very clear. It starts, the fruit of the Spirit starts with a but. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We must remember the but the, because it comes after what He told us is the works of the flesh, and all the evil, and all the garbage, and all the goo of the flesh that is constantly, constantly, constantly trying to draw you back in. When I say you, I mean me, too. The fruit of the flesh, the works of the flesh, the desires of the flesh are always in direct opposition of the fruit of the Spirit. We are given the fruit of the Spirit the very moment that we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. When you become a born-again Christian, by truly believing in Jesus, that's how you become a born-again Christian, is truly believing in Jesus. And when you become born again, the Holy Spirit plants a seed in your heart. And that seed is love.
Amen.
And that seed is joy. And that seed is peace. And that seed is patience. And that seed is kindness. That seed is goodness. And that seed is faithfulness. That seed is gentleness. And that seed is self-control. And these were all planted in your heart to defeat the flesh.
Yes. Amen.
So that you could live your life purely for Christ. That you could live a clean life before the Father. Does that mean you will never ever stumble? No, it doesn't mean you won't stumble. What it does mean, if you truly gave your heart to Christ, if you truly gave your heart to Jesus, you will not live in sin.
Amen.
You just won't. Right. If you truly gave your heart to Christ, you won't live in sin. You may trip.
That's right.
And that's what repentance is for. But if you repent wrongly, when I say that, I mean, if you go into repentance knowing that, Father, I want you to forgive me for the sin I'm getting ready to commit, it doesn't work that way. That is not repentance. That's deception. And can the Father be deceived? Father can't be deceived. He cannot be deceived. So if you go into your quote marks, repentance, with the plan of repeating and living in that sin still, you have never repented to begin with. You give your heart to Jesus. You believe that He is the Lord and Savior. But you don't repent of your sins. You have never given your heart to Christ. Again, I know this is a bit repetitive, but it needs to be said. It needs to be said. Paul and Peter are adamant. Do not let yourself be bound to the flesh any longer. And for goodness sake, don't bind yourself back to the flesh. Don't go binding yourself back to that which you have been freed from. Do you remember the children of Israel? When God provided a way for them to be freed from physical slavery, remember that? How He had led them out of Egypt, had led them through the Red Sea, was providing for them, but they got all grumpy and grumbly, and what did they say? Let us go back to where we had three squares. Let us go back to where we had a warm place to sleep. They were wanting to bind themselves back to the evil that they had been free from. Why? They weren't having the fun that they were having before. Well, while they were in it, they didn't think it was so fun. They were being beaten. They were being abused. They were being used and reused. And then they were freed and delivered from that slavery. But when they got a little cold and they got a little hungry, the only reason they were cold and hungry is because they weren't using that which the Lord had provided for them. And when they got a little out of their own way, they couldn't get out of their own way. And they wanted to get back in their own way. And they wanted to go back to that which had bound them before. This is the problem that we have a lot of times once we've given our heart to Christ. Like Lot's wife, we look back at what we had and even start to long for it a little bit. And that leads to destruction. That leads to destruction. We can't be looking back to what we had. This goes on beyond, you know, where Paul has confronted Peter. This goes beyond confronting the other pastors about teaching things that are beyond just the gospel that got them there and adding back in, say, circumcision and what have you. This goes back to going back to your old lifestyle, going back to your old sin. It is a path that leads to destruction. Reattaching to the flesh can be detrimental to not only you and your eternity, but to those around you. We not only teach others through preaching and teaching, but also, and even more so, through action and deed. And you say, but Pastor, I mostly follow, and I know that God's grace is sufficient for me. I mostly follow. I mostly do as I'm supposed to. I only have a couple closet sins. I mostly do as I think I'm supposed to do. And just like with Paul, God's grace is sufficient for me. Stop using God's word as an excuse to go back to sin. Did you hear what I just said? Stop using God's word as an excuse to go back to sin. You can take and take His word out of context and make it say whatever you want it to say to justify your sin. That doesn't make it right. That doesn't make it right. You can go into the Word of God and take something out of context and twist it and turn it until you are committing whatever sin you like to commit. And whether you think we're in the last days or not, look around you. We had a couple come in this morning that made it very clear. They know the Word of God. Amen. They heard the Word of God. I'm not here to condemn them. I'm just telling you what was said. They know the Word of God. They hear the Word of God. They were upset when people started preaching the Word of God the way it's supposed to be preached. But Pastor, Jesus loves everybody. He doesn't care if you're a homosexual. Baloney!
That's right.
Do you get that? Yes, He does.
Yes, He
He doesn't hate you if you're a homosexual. He doesn't hate you if you're a drug addict. He doesn't hate you if you're a murderer. He doesn't hate you at all. He loves you and wants to see everyone come to repentance. And he wants to see everyone come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But he absolutely, positively, 100% hates the evil that keeps the people in sin. That's what is hated. And when that is preached as acceptable from here, this person needs to be thrown out on their ear. When a pastor is preaching anything contrary to the word, they gotta go.
Amen.
And if you're teaching that, shame on you. So do you gotta go. You gotta stop. You gotta stop. What I'm asking you to do is not get up and leave. I'm asking you, if you're teaching anything contrary to the word of God, I'm asking you to repent.
Amen.
And then get on that straight course and stay the course.
Amen. That's right.
We preach repentance in this church.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Grace is sufficient. It's beyond an excuse. Yes, God's grace is sufficient for me and is applied upon repentance. And repentance is change of direction without intent to return, period.
Did you catch that? Repentance is change of direction without intent to return, period. If you claim the change of direction, but then you return right back to the slop, and you repent with the intent of going back to the slop that you were in, you never repented to begin with.
That's true.
Repent is change of direction without intent to return. That's worth writing down if you've got a pencil. That's really worth writing down, because this is truth that can set you free. Amen? If there is a notion of return, then there is no repentance. 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and are again entangled in it and are overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them to have not known the way of righteousness than to have known it and to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them the proverbs are true: a dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed returns to her wallowing in the mud. If you're going to claim it, if you're going to claim Him, do it. With all your heart. It's the only way. A half-hearted repentance, a half-hearted confession of Christ isn't acceptable and will not get you into heaven. Pastor, you can't go around telling people they're going to hell. What I'm saying is, when you give your heart to Jesus, it's imperative that you give your whole heart to Jesus and that you make that turn, that you make that change. So, reading this and reading what we've read, is it even possible to stay saved? I'm glad you asked, even though I asked. I'm glad you asked. A million times yes. A million times yes. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 5, I didn't write it down, but I wanted to write it down, so I'm going to go to verses 5, chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free.
Yes.
Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again. Catch that again in there. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Let me reread that. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And we're not to let ourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. In verse 13 it says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. We were called to the name of Christ to be free. We were called to come out of the bondage that the flesh has for us. We were called to come out of the bondage of the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death provides bondage to that.
Hallelujah.
If the house is burning down, why would you handcuff yourself to the radiator? Because that's what you're doing when you bind yourself back to the law of sin and death. That's what you're doing when you go back to the works of the flesh. Is you're handcuffing yourselves to the radiator of the house that is burning down. Destruction is on its way, and once you have reattached yourself, you're in the path of destruction. And that destruction is sure to happen. Chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. And then 6, 9, and 10, it says, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. How am I saved? How am I saved? I asked the question, can we stay saved? Well, how am I saved? How am I saved? Romans 10:9 says, believe that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. Acts 16:31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And your entire household. I can believe for my entire household. That's not what it's saying. You see, I can take things out of context too and make them say what I want them to say. But what he's saying is, you live your life for Christ in front of your family, and they'll come to know Jesus. They'll come by your example. They'll follow your lead. If you are a true leader, guess what? People will follow. People will follow a leader. You give your heart to Christ. I'm here to tell you, you truly give your heart to Christ, you are a true leader, and people will follow. There's a reason Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. What's a disciple? A follower. Jesus said, go into all the world and make followers. He wasn't saying this to the flesh. He was saying this to the spirit of the believer. Go into all the world and make followers, because you are a natural, supernatural born leader. When you give your heart to Christ, you are a supernaturally born leader. And when you go out and you tell people about Jesus, they will follow. He didn't say, go out into all the world and they might come. This is like Field of Dreams. If you lead, they will follow. Go out and make disciples. He didn't go out and find disciples. Did he? Did he say go out and find people to follow? That's not what he said. He said go out into all the world and make disciples. Build disciples. Create, if you will, disciples by your testimony.
by your life, by the path that you're leading, the disciples will come. People will follow. By the path that you're leading, people will follow.
Yeah, it's possible to stay saved. This is really good. How do I keep from falling back?
Know the enemy and know his plan and know the Spirit. Know the Spirit and what he has for you. Know the Spirit and follow his recipe. Know the enemy and know his plan.
This is how... Pastor, are you really telling us how to stay saved? You bet I am. It's okay to do. You bet I am telling you how to stay saved. How do you stay saved? You stay attached to Jesus. You stay attached to the vine. How do I stay saved? Galatians 5, 19 through 25. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit.
Do you know what I just read to you? I just told you how to stay saved. Live by the Spirit. Stay in step with Him. Know the enemy when he comes around. Learn to recognize the enemy. Learn to recognize his weapons. And learn to say no. Learn to, when the enemy puts it in your heart, to talk about your neighbor. Learn to tell the enemy, that's not what I do. I am a child of God. I wasn't born into Jesus Christ to talk about my neighbor. I was born into Jesus to love my neighbor. And you can tell the enemy that matter-of-factly. With confidence, I don't have to listen to you in the name of Jesus. You got to go. You got to go. In Jesus' name, I belong. I am a blood-bought child of the King, and I belong to Him, and He is who I will serve.
But what if I keep getting trapped by the same sin or desire? Oh, come on.
Come on. What if I keep getting trapped? I just keep doing it, Pastor. I just keep getting trapped.
Trapped is the word. Trapped is the word. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught,
trapped in sin. If someone is trapped in sin,
you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently.
We don't throw you out on your ear. We've all likely been trapped by sin. We serve a God that is so powerful He can pull us out of that trap without destroying us.
Amen.
It's incumbent upon us as family to love people back into the fold. Let's not be the jealous brother when the child returns. As the father is welcoming, let's not be the one that says, "But I never left. But I never did that. You're not throwing a party for me." Let's not be that person. No. Heaven forbid that we have to be told by the Father, "My child has come home. Get back in your place. My child has come home and is worth a pardon." You see, when you've been trapped,
It is incumbent upon us as family to love you back into the fold. Yes, we are to point out your misdirection. But then we're to gently love you back in. What happens if we keep getting caught? We keep repenting. You don't repent with the intent of going back. But if you have stumbled and fallen back, repent with the intent of moving forward. This is how we continue on in the path of righteousness. Well, it says to carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Before that, it says, watch yourselves. I want to touch on this just a little, just for a second. Because it says to watch ourselves so we don't fall into that trap. That's it. It's not necessarily saying, and this is something that the Holy Spirit pointed out while I was researching this and when I was writing this sermon, he pointed out, he's not necessarily saying that you need to watch yourself from falling into that particular sin. But what happens if somebody comes to you and confesses their sin to you? And then you turn around and tell somebody else what they just told you. You have fallen into sin. At that point, you have become a gossip. At that point, you have become a faction. At that point, you have become discord. When you take somebody else's fault and you use that for your advantage, whatever the sin was, that they shared with you, instead of forgiveness, you turned into a gossip. That's horrible. This is one of the things that the Holy Spirit is warning us about in this passage is, be careful that you don't fall into sin. When somebody comes to you in confidence, keep confidence. When somebody comes to you in confidence, keep confidence. And you know what? If you're not able to do that, stop them. You know yourself. You do. You know yourself. And if you are given to gossip and somebody's coming to you and wants to confess your sin, you guess what you should do? You should say, you know what, I love you. But let me refer you to someone. I don't think I'm the person that you need to be talking to anymore, but I'll pray with you. Does that make sense? You know what that is? That's a fruit of the Spirit. That's one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. That's more than one. It's kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. And boy, does that ever exude self-control. If you're able to look at someone and say, I'm weak in this area. You know what? I'm not the right person for you to be talking to. I'd love to pray with you. Can I recommend that you talk to Brother Don? Can I recommend that you talk to the pastor? You know what? People come to me with things. I couldn't tell you how many times I said, listen, I'm the wrong person for this. Could I recommend Pastor Brian at Elkhart Calvary? Pastor Whitney at Elkhart Calvary? Pastor Dave at Elkhart Bethel? Many, many times have I recommended because I may not be qualified in that area. Or I don't feel that I have the self-control to keep their confidence in that, whatever it is. I'm here to tell you that is utilizing the fruit of the Spirit, knowing when to say when. All right? How can I help others?
Love God with all your heart. Hey, let me refer you to the wall over here. How can I help others? Love God with all your heart. Love God with all your soul. Love God with all your mind. Love God with all your strength. Love people. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
Directly from the words of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. This is how we help others. By acting on that
which Jesus has commanded us to do. This is my commandment, Jesus said.
What is his commandment? What was that? To love one another. For what purpose? That your joy may be full, or your loving your neighbor completes your joy. Think about that. Let's put that into some perspective. Your loving your neighbor completes your joy. Who completes your joy? Jesus. How are you loving your neighbor? Jesus. Who are you when you give your heart to Christ? Jesus. You may be the only Jesus somebody sees today. I'm going to put that over and over today. But you may be the only Jesus that somebody sees today. You know what? If we go out and we do as we're told, and we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves, we are showing Jesus to people, and somebody can come to Jesus just through how we show them. Just through our actions, somebody might come to know Jesus. And what if your actions led someone to Jesus and then went to meet the Maker? See, we only have so long to make that decision. You only have so long to make the decision that you are going to, 100% you are going to, give your heart to Jesus. You've only got so long to make that decision. Jesus could return for his children as I'm speaking, and your time is up. You can walk in front of an ambulance right out that door, which is not impossible. Those ambulances go screaming by here all the time. You can walk out that door in front of an ambulance, and your time is up. If you haven't given your heart to Christ, it's too late. It's too late. Let's not wait until it's too late. Have you given your heart to Jesus? I don't know. Truly, have you given your heart to Jesus? Have you even thought about it? Have I given my heart to Jesus? I would like you to sit there. I want everybody. I don't do this very often. I'd like everybody to bow your head and close your eyes. Everybody. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes. Don't be that reverent, just looking around. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes. Now I want you to look inside yourself. Look inside your heart. And I want to know. I want you to know for sure. Have I given my heart to Jesus? Truly given my heart to Jesus? Or am I living my life for me? Who am I living my life for? This is really important stuff. Who do I live my life for? If you can't say that you have truly given your heart to Christ, don't let pride stop you from gaining eternal life. Did you hear what I said? Don't worry about what everybody around you thinks. If you have never given your heart to Christ, if you've never surrendered to Him, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, now is the time. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior? Do you believe that He died and God rose Him from the dead? Do you believe in Him? If you do, here's the next step. Repent. It's not something that you say, it's something that you do. Repent. Turn around from that sin. Don't go back to it like the sow wallowing in the mud. Don't go back to it like the dog returning to his vomit. It is time to walk away and walk toward Him and live for Him. If you've done that this morning, you are saved. Praise the Lord. You are saved. Let's sing. Father, we give you praise and glory. You are amazing. The way that you have provided for us Sometimes it seems so difficult to stay saved. But if we follow your recipe, we don't make it difficult at all. All we have to do is be aware of the wiles of the enemy. Be aware of the works of the flesh. And follow your recipe. And walk in the Spirit. Walk by your Spirit.
Let your spiritual fruit manifest in us, I pray. Help us to be your children and not return to the mud or vomit.
We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name.
I pray that you go with us. Keep us safe as we go about our ways. We love you so much.
You, God, are an awesome God. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be dismissed.